Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you spending part of your Monday morning with the show. Governor Hobbs gives three communities, tribes in southern Arizona, $25 million for border security efforts. It's an interesting story. We're going to get into deeper in the border in a moment and what's happening. The money comes from a $335 million border security fund created by state lawmakers and former Governor Doug Ducey. Here's where it gets interesting. Governor Hobbs said the funding previously was used for, in quotes, political stunts. But under her leadership would now help border communities do their work more effectively. I made a promise to Arizona that would put politics aside. Well, this is the part that's kind of funny. I'm going to put this is kind of the same thing President Biden said. I'm a Democrat, but I'm going to be a president for all Americans, and went on to trash anybody on the other side of the aisle. Same thing here. You know, I promised Arizona I would set politics aside. Everything that last guy did was a stunt. The municipalities of Somerton, Welton, and Yuma, as well as the Cocopah tribe, will split the money. It is great that we have more money at the border. I am thrilled that we have this fund of $335 million. As a state, it's unfortunate we need it. If you look through some of the things that are going on, here's a headline. It's just unacceptable. The border crisis is overwhelming schools in some of America's most populated cities. We are talking about underfunded schools. I will say this to you. This is where I'm torn, because if I talk so much about children getting an education, the older I get, the more important I realize education is. And I thank God for my parents forcing me for as long as they could in education, and my teachers, and how they taught me when I was young. It's so strange. For my birthday this weekend, I got a birthday message from one of my aunts that I haven't seen since I was a little kid. And she worked at the Catholic elementary school I went to in Newberry, Ohio. And and we all have teachers we remembered. One of the teachers I remember was a principal. Her name was Sister Harold. You know, nuns took on men's names, Sister Mary Harold, Sister whatever. And she said, I remember Sister Harold saying, man, that Mike Broomhead kid sure likes to talk. And she said, look where you are now, and kind of a walk down memory lane from an aunt I haven't seen since I was a little kid. But it brought back memories of my education. And if you want to know why parents are looking for options, this is part of it. I want everybody's child to have a quality education, but we can't sacrifice American children for the world unless they're doing it the right way. I am a big fan of legal immigration. I think we should have a robust immigration system, but you've got to do it legally. What we're doing now is straining every system we have, everything we have. Our charitable organizations, food banks, hospitals, police departments, 911, public schools. And we've got to get a handle on it. We keep talking about it, but nobody does anything. So that headline kind of got me. The immigration backlog has a U.S. asylum seeker feeling like he's imprisoned in a country. Again, we focus on the wrong people. We should be furious at the illegal asylum seekers, the ones that know that they've been taught to say the right things, but they have no legitimate claim to asylum in this country because they're holding up the ones that do. We're not focusing on the legitimate asylum seekers. They're waiting in these long lines as well, and it's unfortunate. Now, this is the one that gets me. Migrants flown from Texas to California and left outside of a church were lied to. They have connections to Florida. Immoral. California officials upset after 16 migrants flown on a private jet and dropped off in Sacramento. They were lied to. So California officials, the governor included, they are going to look into whether or not people in this country lied to these migrants once they crossed our border to get them on an airplane to California instead of on an airplane to Florida where they think they wanted to go. This is horrible. This is immoral. How about the migrants that are being lied to in their Central American countries where they are borrowing money and then on the hook for thousands of dollars they don't have to the cartels, and families' lives are in danger, and they're lied to about the journey, and they're lied to about what happens when they get here, and they're lied to about the amount of money it's going to cost them. Their lives are in danger. They're put in the back of trucks in well over 100 degree temperatures. But this is what they're outraged about, because they got put on a private jet and sent to the wrong state. That you're going to investigate? we are so twisted and backwards in what we get outraged about. I don't like seeing people used as pawns, but they are being used as pawns long before they get to the border of America. And they are being used as pawns by the cartels long after they cross our borders. They're imprisoned. They're enslaved. We've lost over 85,000 kids. And the news stories, there's at least six or seven different publications that have printed this story. They got put on a private jet and they got sent to California instead of Florida. We have to do something about this. Well, why don't we do something about the entire problem? Why don't we get outraged about what's happening? Why don't you have headlines about the 85,000 missing children every single day? Why don't we talk about the public schools that are being overwhelmed in cities across this country, where we are already talking about a massive teacher shortage, and now you're taking children that don't speak English, putting them into American schools, taking time away from American students, because that's, and I don't want to change that about us, by the way. I'm not saying don't put those kids in public school. If they're here, it's an American thing to do. That's what we do as Americans. We treat people, we treat the world differently. There's a reason why there is such a line of people to come here legally or illegally. It doesn't matter. There are reasons why that happened. And it's because of who we are as Americans. What we have to do is stop the influx of people. What do you say? Anybody out there that disagrees with me on the border issue, I love the conversation. You should know by now I like the debate. You tell me, why are we focused on this backlog? Why are we focused on the people that are causing the backlog, meaning the people that don't have a legitimate asylum claim? You just want to make excuses. Well, they've got nowhere to go and they're doing this and they're doing that. They're breaking our laws and they're standing in the way of legitimate asylum seekers. What do you say to the legitimate asylum seekers? What do you say to someone who has done it the right way? They separated themselves from their family, sometimes for years, to come to America. They came here ahead of their family, their children, their wives, their sons, their daughters, their husbands, and they come here, they put down roots, they go through the green card process, they become citizens, they send for their family. Finally, their children are able to be educated in American schools, and they've done it the right way. And then they watch families come across the border, make fake asylum claims, their children get enrolled in school immediately, and eventually they get let to stay. What do you say to those families that did it the right way? I mean, at least you got to look at the whole picture, and people just are not looking at the whole picture. We're going to talk the most polluted cities in the world. This green agenda, the Green New Deal is back in America. The 20 most polluted cities in the world. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. While the world is fighting climate change, that is the number one agenda for this administration. The U.S. is leading the world in climate change. Biden's green rules mean appliances will soon cost more and do less, according to experts. But here's an interesting story. I talk about the website Zero Hedge. I like the diversity of stuff they have there. Economy related in most of what they do. But here are the 20 most air polluted cities on Earth. The 20 most, and I'm not going to go through the list of all 20, but I'm just going to go through some of the countries. Pakistan, China, India, 1, 2, 3. India, Pakistan, India. India, Chad, India. India, India, India. India, Iraq, India. India, Pakistan. India, 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 and India. My point here is there is not a European or a North American city listed in the top 20. Does that mean that we should not be responsible with the earth? And this is where the difference lies. I will tell you, I consider myself, and I'm not being sarcastic, I consider myself an environmentalist. I want clean air. I want clean water. I want all of those things. I want to conserve as much water. You know, it's one of the reasons I focused on water long before it was an issue. I learned years ago to respect the heck out of John Kyle, former Senator John Kyle. He's just a good man who did great work in the United States Senate. He was Arizona's junior senator for years behind John McCain. and was well respected on both sides of the aisle. I don't think there's anyone in the country that knew or knows the United States Constitution better than John Kyle does. And he was the leader on securing Arizona's water and water future while he was in the United States Senate. And as much as that sounds boring to so many people, you know, you do what I do and you want people to listen, and then you imagine yourself turning on the microphone and saying, we're going to talk about water, and picture everybody reaching to change the station. It is such a compelling topic to me and has been for a long time. I consider myself an environmentalist. But in Ireland, the government proposes the slaughter of 200,000 cows because of the methane emissions from cattle to meet the EU climate change goals. Now, once again, the 20 most polluted cities on the planet, not one of them is a European or a U.S. or North American city. Not one. And yet we are doing these things to our economy and to our people. We know what food costs are. Now imagine eliminating this many animals, what it's going to do to the cost of food. The Green New Deal is back and it's more radical than ever, is the other headline I have. And it talks about the things that are in this climate bill. I am in favor of being good stewards of the planet, and that's not lip service. I think we should be good stewards of the planet we live on. But here we are once again believing that if we are going to mine minerals to secure our future, that the minerals and what it takes to make those batteries, store those batteries, and destroy those batteries isn't going to be an environmental nightmare. Do you know how many people are pushing back against mines? We're the copper state. We are the copper state. How many copper mines are still operating, and how many future mines that we need are going to be operational? We've got people fighting against mining at every turn. Now imagine the minerals that are needed to make these batteries or solar panels. That's the future, right? We're turning all of those mineral rights over to China. So here we've got OPEC controlling us. We're going to talk more about gas prices again in just a few minutes, because they're expected to spike, be like they did last April when OPEC decided to slow down production. They're saying it's in anticipation of a recession and a slowdown in the world economy. Well, let's see. Let's see what it does to gas prices. But here we are now turning over the mineral rights to the rest of the world. Do you know that we don't refine, we don't smelt the things we mine in this state? Really, in this country? I don't remember exactly how many smelters we have left in this country, but it's not many. We ship all of that stuff out, and another country smelts it for us. And so we have got to figure out ways to be self-sufficient, and we can do that and balance being good stewards of the planet. This overreaction and overcorrection, and it's one of the things that people don't really look into. It took me a long time to look into it. I will tell you on its face, when I was a kid, you heard about, it wasn't called climate change then. First, it was going to be the global freeze. I've gone down this road before. In the 1970s, look it up. Newsweek magazine talked about the global freeze. We were going to starve. Terrified me as a kid, because as a little boy, I lived in Northeast Ohio in a little town called Newberry. It was farm country back then. And we had these horrific snowstorms that would hit Northeast Ohio. They would come down the Erie Canal, they'd hammer Buffalo, then they'd come down the Erie Canal, they would hammer Cleveland and just crush us with snow. And we were going to freeze, and we were never going to get out of it, and we were all going to die. Then I moved to Florida, and it became global warming and the burning a hole in the ozone layer, and we were going to die, and we have 6 or 7 years to fix this. And if you go back and look at those news stories of the experts, the so-to-speak celebrity experts, and some of them scientists that say, we've got 7 to 10 years, we've got 6 to 12 years, we've got all this limited amount of time, and if we don't do something, we're doomed. We're going to be over the cliff, and we can't turn back. They're still saying it today. It's no longer global warming, because they don't know what it's going to do. They know that they're wrong. So in one case, it's going to warm. In another case, it's going to be too cold. So we're going to call it climate change. So no matter what happens, we can say it's because of the effect of this or that or this or that. And that's what's happening. So on its face, I never believed that. But when you start looking into what the world does and what we're doing and what we force upon ourselves, and in turn, what we force the citizens of our country to do, we are forcing the citizens to pay for this. What you're paying in gas prices is because the United States is not energy independent. We don't have a bigger role in what's happening in the world. And as we move forward with electric vehicles and the batteries it's going to take to power a semi truck, what happens when one of those catches on fire, by the way? But we are turning over the mineral rights to the other nations that still disagree with us and still hate us. If that's the kind of world we are going to have, why in the world aren't we more careful about who gets the rights to make sure we can produce them? And the U.S. doesn't. We don't do it on the fossil fuel side. We don't do it when it comes to copper and the other minerals we're mining now. And it's not happening with the vehicles of the future and the solar panels of the future. And it's something we need to take a look at. In a moment, Chicago has an immensely bloody weekend. I'll tell you why that's important next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. You can help make a difference in our community by texting the word ACTION to 411-923 and join my Action Alliance. Learn how you can join us in upcoming volunteer opportunities in our community. I'll even send you an Action Alliance t-shirt while supplies last. Just text ACTION to 411-923. We talk about violence and uptick in violence and people taking the law into their own hands, and they shouldn't have to do this and they shouldn't have to do that. Look at what happened in Chicago, and this is where I'm such an advocate for safety. But the idea that you're going to make us safer by disarming law-abiding citizens makes absolutely no sense to anyone who is thinking critically versus emotionally. And in this case, I want you to listen to what happened. Over 50 people were shot in Chicago this weekend, 10 of them fatally. Over 50 people shot just this weekend in Chicago. Chicago, Illinois has some of the most strict gun laws in the entire nation. They blame the communities around them that don't for the violence in their city. Then why aren't places around more violent than you because we have lax gun laws? Yours are strict. Do you understand how that it is such a fantasy? Because at the very least, we all would be equally as bad. Your laws and how you enforce them, when I say enforce them, I mean punish people. The things that you've done in a lot of the communities in Chicago are the reasons why they're unsafe. The gun is the tool they're using to mete out their violence. There's a video online of Chicago this weekend where four young men are sneaking across a vacant lot, and they're wearing hoodies and I think sunglasses to mask their identity. And they walk to this corner and they turn around the corner and they all pull out guns. Some of them were modified to be automatic weapons, and they just fire into a crowd of people. So you look at that and you think, wow, this gun violence is out of control. And I would agree with you. I would also venture to guess that those four people were probably kids, and they probably weren't supposed to have guns anyway. But here's another headline from Chicago. Licensed gun owner turns the tables on would-be carjackers amid soaring Chicago violence. A pair of suspected armed carjackers tried to steal a vehicle near Ford City Mall, and they were faced with a gun owner who defended themselves. I've talked about a gun being an equalizer, and that's exactly what a gun is. If you don't have the ability to defend yourself, you are always going to have someone that is bigger and stronger than you are. I don't care how tough you think you are, or really how tough you are. It doesn't matter. You can be one of the – I mean, Mike Tyson got knocked out. Now, he won that fight, in my opinion. He knocked out Buster Douglas, but in the end, because of the ruling, he still was knocked to the canvas by that guy. What I'm saying is I think Mike Tyson was the baddest man on the planet. I think there was nobody better than that guy ever. With all due respect, Ali will always be the greatest, but if you wanted to see a wrecking machine in the boxing world, there was no one that was ever more dominant. You have Tiger Woods in golf, arguably because of the records of other people, but during that time frame of his best, there was nobody on the planet better than Tiger Woods at golf, and there was nobody that was more of a wrecking machine than Mike Tyson in the world of boxing. Mike Tyson is one of the most compelling human beings to me on the planet because of how his life is now, and it's a whole – this is a sidebar. I love Mike Tyson. I've never met him, and he is one of the people on my bucket list. If I could ever have a conversation with someone that I would love to be able to just talk with, it wouldn't even have to be on the air. That would be a dream, but just to talk with would be Mike Tyson. But even Mike Tyson got beat. And you, there, it doesn't matter how tough you think you are. If you don't have the ability to defend yourself, and I say this because I have girls and, you know, single moms, and their ability to defend themselves in a horrible situation, defend their children, my grandchildren, it's an equalizer. And anybody who doesn't see it that way, you have a right to your feelings, but that's just, what life is. And you should be able to comfortably live your life without having to worry that you're not the biggest and the strongest. You know, I'm 56. I'm not the same as I was at even 46 or 36. And so, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to be like at 66 if I make it there. And your ability to defend yourself. So here are people that are licensed gun owners, and the idea that we're going to have all of this reasonable gun law nonsense, and it is people I know that are well-intentioned. I believe that to be true. They are well-intentioned people. But why should you be a sitting duck? If you remember, there was a shooting at Westgate years ago, a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, she was in the middle of that shooting. She sent me pictures. I had her on the air to talk about it. She was a sitting duck. She wasn't armed there, and they were hiding. They just had another shooting at Westgate this weekend. Two groups of people shooting each other in the parking lot. It's ridiculous. When people misbehave, there should be serious consequences for gun crimes. If you're modifying firearms, if you're illegally selling firearms, if you're a prohibited possessor and you're caught with firearms, there should be very strict penalties. But we have got to start telling criminals and letting them know that they are not the heroes in our society and that they will be punished and held accountable for the crimes they commit. It makes it that much better when someone turns the page on their life and thank God they weren't killed when they were younger and they realize what horrible human beings they were and they were committing crimes, that they come out of prison and they dedicate their lives to being better. That overcoming is something we cherish in America. We love those stories. But it all begins with being punished for your crime, realizing you did the wrong thing and changing who you are. Not this revolving door of a justice system with no cash bail and all these other things so that people just get back out on the streets to continue to commit crimes. Chicago, Illinois has got some of the most strict gun laws in the entire country, along with Washington, D.C., another very violent city. L.A., another very violent city. We've got a lot of violence. We have an uptick of violence here in Maricopa County. But we also have the ability to defend ourselves. And you're never going to take mine away from me. I don't want to defend myself. I never want to. I'm proud to say I'm 56 years old. I've owned firearms almost my entire adult life, and I've never brandished a firearm at a human being. And I hope I never do. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be prepared if I need to. That doesn't mean that my girls should be outnumbered because they're girls, no offense, and some guy wants to do harm to them without the ability to have the equalizer, to have a fighting chance of surviving. So the Chicago story gets to me. It really bothers me. Coming up in just a moment, an Idaho teen was punished for saying that there are only two genders. Wait till you hear what happened to this student. It's coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here for part of your morning. The culture wars continue, and I thought this was interesting. All of the people that are out there that have the coexist license plates on their car and all of those things are the most closed-minded people most of the time. In other words, what they mean is they want you to coexist as long as you agree with them. If you disagree with them, they want you canceled. Then they get mad when other people cancel other things. So they want cancel everybody. If you did it 15 years ago and you made a joke we thought was offensive now, not 10 years ago, wasn't offensive. It's offensive now. We want you canceled. But then when somebody says, you know what, I'm not buying Bud Light anymore after what they did, you're a horrible person for trying to do something like that. It just doesn't make sense. But how about this? A high school student in Idaho was punished because he said there's only two genders. It's Kellogg High School, and they planned a walkout, walkout at the school. He was speaking out. He said that there's only two genders. They weren't going to let him graduate with the class. He wasn't going to be able to walk the stage. And so people came out to support him. He said the press also resorted to defaming the young student by alluding to the fact that he had participated in a senior prank, insinuating that he was a bad kid. It's despicable. This is obviously a feeble attempt to split hairs and put blame back on the student instead of the woke teachers' unions where it belongs. I hate the politics of education. This is the politics of education. If you're allowed to say that there are 46 different genders, he can say there's only two. And it's, he hasn't hurt anybody by saying that. He has a right to believe whatever he wants. As a matter of fact, in Vermont, a school board pays a family who was punished for speaking against biological males in girls' locker room. A school district reached a settlement with a local family after the punishment. The Vermont School Board Insurance Trust will pay $125,000 in damages and attorney's fees under the settlement on behalf of Travis and Jessica Allen and their daughter Blake, as well as their attorneys with the Alliance Defending Freedom. The settlement will also reinstate the father, Travis, as a middle school soccer coach. You, again, these are the people that want equality. They don't want to be silenced. They want to be able to live their lives. But if you disagree with them, you're out. This whole, and it isn't everybody. By the way, I will tell you that the people that I know that are gay just want to be left alone. They don't want to, I'm trying to think of how to put this into the right words of what was said to me to make sure I don't misquote someone. Someone I know said, I am this profession and I'm gay. I'm not a gay this in the profession. It is just, it's a part of their life. It is who they are, but they're not leading with that. This political idea, you're going to cancel a business because they won't make a cake for your wedding and you're going to do this and it's all a political tool and you're going to agree with us. And if you don't agree with us, you're going to shut up because if you speak, we're going to cancel you. Doesn't make any sense. Here's another one. The Minnesota Department of Corrections will pay for an inmate sex change surgery and transfer him to a female prison. So the taxpayers of Minnesota are going to pay for gender reassignment surgery for an inmate. You commit a crime, not only are you getting free health care, you're getting this. It makes no sense to me. None. You know, we hear about people saying inclusion. Great. What about the kid that says there's only two genders? Where's his inclusion? When does he get to be included in all the opinions at the school? He doesn't. He has to shut up or they're not going to let him walk the stage with his class. That's not inclusivity. It is an interesting target pushes backs an organization that wants U.S. demilitarization, Mount Rushmore shutdown. You're going to see more and more businesses that are just going to do what they've been doing for decades, which is stay out of it. You know, Michael Jordan got criticized years later, but Michael Jordan was asked to come out and support somebody for office who was running for the United States Senate, North Carolina. And he refused to come out and do that. And there were a lot of people in the black community because it was a black candidate that was mad at Michael Jordan because of the hero he was in the NBA. And you know what Michael Jordan said? He said, Republicans buy shoes, too. And he didn't mean anything by it. If you watch the documentary, what he was saying is he stayed in his lane of being an athlete and appealing to everybody and to drag his personal political, write the guy a check, do whatever. But you're going to start advocating. You're going to alienate a subject of your fan base. You know what? You have to know what your role is. And knowing what your role is in saying, I want to appeal to the most amount of people, that doesn't mean you stuff your feelings and your opinions away. But if you own a business that welcomes in the public, and it happens on the other side of the aisle as well, you know, when you have people that advertise and in their advertising, they make fun of a political party, make fun of Democrats, you're alienating those people. And I think, man, they write checks too. They spend money. And so if you're trying to appeal to the masses, why are you dragging your politics out there and upsetting people on the other side of the political aisle? What's gone so much further than that? Now, especially when you see what's happening in schools and education in general, if you disagree with the 86 different genders ideology, they want you fired and they will work to ruin your career. It's a bridge too far for me. Coming up just after 10 o'clock, we're going to go back to the schools. What is an RRO? If you've not heard of it, you've heard of SRO, school resource officers. What is an RRO and what will they be doing in the Phoenix Union District? We're going to talk about a decision that was made last week and a press release we talked about on Friday. All that's coming up next.